come in today. It's been a week into the new year, so how are y'all? Good? Last week we talked about Happy New Year. You know? We kind of took that apart. Happy New Year. Happiness, it kind of says what all we want, right? That's the whole thing. Boy, a new year, happy. We're going to be happy. We want to be happy. Happy is what we chase after. Happy is what we seek. Happy is what we go after. Happy, happy, happy. And yet the reality is, it's a harsh reality, but life will not allow you to always be happy. That's just the way it is. Sometimes life just stinks. What brought you here today? For some people, every Sunday we have people whose life has been crushed, and they're here because they're coming and saying, man, my life is crushed. Things have just kind of fallen apart, and I need to see if there's something else for it. Life won't allow you to be happy. So when we say Happy New Year, yeah, it means a lot. Happy, we want to be happy. Hope you have a happiness. But really, the reality is that we need to be a joyous, joyous. It means joy that beyond the situations, beyond the circumstances, that we have a God that says, hey, be joyful always. He doesn't say be happy always. Despite what you hear from many people, that God wants you to be happy, well, that's a byproduct, and it'd be great if there's moments of our life that we're happy. But he does say in every moment that we are to be joyful. He gives us the strength to be joyful no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. When we have the bedrock foundation of the Lord as our Savior, when we realize he's in control, it allows us to have joy. That no matter what happens, you know, we have joy. I realize as we become happy, we don't find it. We should be joyous. New? Well, not all is new, is it? Not all is new. 1 week in, how much is new for you guys? When you look back, how much is new? How much has changed? More than the date on the page in the journal, how much has changed? Are your kids still your kids? Probably so. Are they probably still doing the same things that perhaps irritated you or challenged you before? Probably so. Is your job still your job? Probably so. The highs and the lows? Probably there. Do you have relationships? Is it still the same? That the change in the calendar didn't really change the relationships? Some are good, some may be stressed, some are whatever. Yeah, they're still there. Perhaps in this first week of New Year, you've already received bad news, news that you didn't expect, bad news. Just, oh my gosh. Maybe there's choices that have been made already. Not all is new. It's not going to be new. And yet we come to the point where we say it's joyous, new. What is new every day is His mercies. His grace is new every day. His peace gives us. So it's not happy. We'd love for it to say this is the day, this is the year the Lord has made, but it doesn't say that. It says this is the day the Lord has made. And we're to rejoice and be glad in it. We're to live this day and not worry about tomorrow. Leave that in the control of the Lord Jesus. Take this day and say, God, you're in control this day. You have this day what we need. We'd love for it to say year, but it doesn't. So it's really a joyous new day. Every day as we wake up, as our peepers open up, it's a joyous new day that God is in control no matter what assails us, no matter what comes to us. We have this issue of, man, we're not always happy. Things aren't always the best. We're not always just joyful. It's not always, I mean, we can be joyful, we're just not always happy. I love that movie, The Money Pit. I don't know if you've seen The Money Pit. Okay, if you've seen The Money Pit, you probably know exactly what image I'm thinking of. Tom Hanks, he's in the movie, you know. Are you with me? And they're putting money into the money pit, this house. And they've been putting money into the money. Everything, money, money, money in this money pit. And they're finally got the tub. Remember the tub upstairs? And they get the tub. They get that tub upstairs. And they're looking at that tub. Going to have a night, you know, maybe a little, nice little evening. And look at that tub. And they fill that tub up with water. It gets heavy. What's it do? Kaboom. Falls right through from the second floor down to the first. At that point, there's a dramatic pregnant pause. And you wonder, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? Remember what he does? He just, big old belly. He's looking in the hole, looking at the tub down there, water. Ha! Woo-hoo-hoo! And he breaks out laughing. Sometimes life's that way, man. It's not all new. And sometimes life comes at us in ways that we can't just say, okay, well, joy is, you know, all you can do is laugh. You have those kind of situations where at times you step back and say, well, there's no need to get any more mad about something. No need to get it. It's now, so many things that happen is just hilarious. It's just funny. Let's laugh at it. A joyous new year. A joyous new day. That we live this day with the joy that God has given us. So probably much hasn't changed in the last 7 days. Not really. In some people's life, things have gotten worse. We have many people who are sick. Many, many, many. But your expectation, what is your expectation as you face any day? What's your expectation as you face 2018? What's your expectation as you face the next moment of our life? Are you expecting that life should be fair or that life should be easy? And yet sometimes we have that. We have this mindset that life should be fair, life should be easy. And we need to ask the question, why should only good things happen to you? I mean, in the row you're sitting in, why should you be the only one to have good things happen to? But you'd be okay with that, as long as it's not me. Let good things happen to me and everybody else. Okay, I'm sorry, man. Life stinks, doesn't it? We have that expectation of what should be fair. In this day and age, entitlements rule. Entitlements rule. It used to be just the fact, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. And we look at the life not being fair. I don't deserve this. Now it's gone beyond that. It's gone beyond, I don't deserve this, to now it's gone to the entitlements, is I do deserve this, though. I deserve to have what I want. I deserve to have things my way. I deserve to have this and that. Comparison kills contentment, and we look at that, I want that. I deserve that. Why? In our situation today, we have people who want more than they're willing to work for. I want this. I want that. Our expectations of life, we come, not only do we bring that expectation of that life should be fair, it should be easy, I should get what I need, I should get what I want. The fact is, and hang on for a minute here, but the fact is, it is time, people. It's time for believers. It's time for people of the family of God, a family of faith in the church to grow up. Now, if I say grow up, you have one perspective. If I say growing up, you have a different perspective, do you not? Growing up seems to take on a natural form that we're growing up. Physically, we expect it, do we not? We have all these timelines. Something wrong in the baby, if we see a baby or somebody, and they're not growing. We say, grow up. Something's wrong if that doesn't happen. Man, at times we run to the doctor. You know, we run and we have measurements and we take the tape out and we weigh all the things. We have a timeline when certain things, the order of certain things should take place. We have books written that set it up. Okay, your baby at, 6 months and 3 days and 2 hours should do this. And do this. And we run that. And we run by that. And if they don't happen, we begin to think it's unnatural. And unfortunately, sometimes it is. We want to see growth in that baby. You can have a growing baby, but it doesn't automatically make it healthy, does it? It does not automatically make it healthy. And we have all these things that we measure within that. We expect as an infant to grow, to not stay an infant, to move beyond that. And yet, spiritually speaking, we do not have that same expectation. In fact, some people don't want a timeline. The big word journey has become just a common word in Christianity, in the face of the church, in the face of personal life. You know, we're all on a journey. Yes, we are all on a journey. There's no doubt. That is true. But within that, it goes beyond that because, in fact, many times we try to put a timeline on something of our spiritual life. We go, no, there's no timeline. God's doing a work. He'll do it. And that's true in His time. But we don't want any measurements. We don't want to have any word of a backwards glance in our life to say, am I growing up? Have I grown up in Christ? We have an assumption that often takes place in churches today that God's people are maturing. It's just an assumption that we make. Well, I'm a believer. So there's an assumption that you're growing. The problem is, the world looks at the church at times. People from outside, they say, well, I'm not going to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. And you know what? They're right. Okay, just acknowledge it. Yeah, we're broken, fallen, hypocritical people. And yet God loves us and forgives us, and that's who we are. But the problem is, on the inside of the church, not from the people on the outside, but on the inside of the church, we're full of immature people. We're people of immaturity within that. And the maturity is, as I believe, a truth that is being ignored. You do not have to look very far to see the lack of spiritual maturity raise its banner in a person's life. There is so much infantile behavior in the body of Christ, His church. you say, oh, well, Bill, come on now. Oh, no. The Bible tells the 1 Corinthians to stop acting like infants, and yet we do. And today the challenge is, are you growing up? The maturity is a truth ignored. You say, well, that's other churches. No, it's not. He or she hurt my feelings. I'm not going to church. But they said something to me, and I didn't like it. Oh, they like Trump. I'm not going back. They don't like Trump. I'm not going back. They do this. They said this. Or they said that or didn't say this. I'm not going back to church. Not until they apologize. But they don't know that they hurt my feelings, so they don't really know to apologize anyway. The pastor didn't speak to me today. The pastor didn't call me. The pastor didn't notice my new jacket. The pastor seemed busy with new people. Many of you know my history as a sixth grader. I was involved in a dynamic and growing church that was split over the thermostat on the wall. Split. I mean, I was young, but I could pretty well see easy solutions here, but no, and they split. Split church. People in the back, it's too cold, we need the heat on. People in the front, it's too hot, we need the cooler on. You never come to a understanding of that. The thermostat's in the back of the church, and so those who wanted it cooler would have to get up from the front to go to the back. Then they had a vote as to who was control of the thermostat, and any time you vote in any way, somebody loses, right? Yeah, well, that didn't go over so well either. That didn't work too well. And so they end up, they want it too cold, they want it too hot. Now, I'm telling you what, I I'm not the brightest thing, but as a sixth grader, I'm looking and say, okay, wait, people in the back, you're cold and you want it on. Because the way the building heated, the way the doors opened up, everything comes from behind. So you wanted the heater on because it was too cold back there for you. The people in the front where that wasn't happening, it was too warm, and you wanted the cooler on because of the stuff from the back of the doors and all never came in. Now, am I just a brain surgeon or what? But it seems to me all you had to do is the people in the back of the church could get off their butts and move to the front of the church. Is that not right? And maybe the people in the front of the church could move. But the reality is, did it matter at all? You see, fights over the temperature. Mm-hmm. People say, I'm not coming over the temperature. Not liking the music style. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. That's why I believe personally that we are to have a blended service. We don't do it probably as often or as great as it should be, but I don't believe that the body of Christ should be a split service. I know there are churches who do this, and may God bless their ministry. But I don't believe in having a traditional service and one having a seeker service. I don't believe that because it doesn't represent the body of Christ. That's why in our service we have from Abba, very reflective and mellow, to Bill, you're not supposed to yell in church, I ran out of that grave! No, we're not supposed to do that. Can you believe that, Pastor Paul? That song, and I can't demonstrate because I'll go down, but he was jumping on stage. Oh my gosh! He said, thermostat, I don't like the music. I'll tell you what, we have some of the greatest folks around here, some of our seniors, though. Because it may not be for you. And the reality is, it's not about us. So some of our seniors I know, especially in the first service, they don't like some of our stuff we do. They probably are saying, no. But you know what? They appreciate it because in the same way, they won't complain to me about the music. They'll say, man, that's not for me. But they love watching our students worship. And they love watching the excitement of other people worship. And they love seeing that. And then they realize that, hey, you know what? The next song. So as in a blended church, you can say, you may not like that song. Okay, hang on. Try the next one. Try the next one. It's about you. It's about worshiping together. Oh, man. I asked Pastor Paul to do this song, and he won't do it. I'm leaving the church. Terrible. Okay. There's dang kids in our church that run around. They run around. Isn't it great? Now listen to them. Let me tell you something. Let me clarify. We have kids that run around. And sometimes I'm the one that says, hey, stop, slow down. That's not because I'm thinking they need to be closer to Jesus. It's not because they're running around. I think that's irreverent to Jesus. It's very simple why I don't want them running around. You know why? Because I can't stand very well. And there's some seniors who can't stand very well. When all of them have left the building, they can run crazy. I hide. That's all I do. I hide in my office. And the kids run wild. Somebody says they shouldn't have be running around. It's irreverent in the house of God. Okay, the house of God is the kingdom of God's in our hearts now. All right, so let's build that. And I understand it. Isn't it great that we have kids around? I can take you to a number of churches. They have no kids in church. See how you like that? A bunch of old folks sitting around saying, I like that song. We're all going to do that every day, every week. That's the song we're going to do. No kids because no one wants to come. So we have complaints about kids running around. Pastor didn't speak to me. Nobody better sit in my seat. Man, that's my seat. You better not sit in it. You better not. No, that's my seat. Some people say, I'm not going to serve until someone asks me personally. It doesn't matter that Pastor Bill or Paul or Mike sit up in the front and say, hey, we need people to serve here and do that. Nope, they didn't ask me personally, so I'm not going to serve. When they want me to serve, they will come and they'll bow down on their knee and they'll ask me to serve. That's going to happen. As I said in 1 Corinthians, it says, stop thinking like infants. You say, Bill, those are pretty extreme. Every one of those things I just listed, except a split over a church thermostat, happens right here. And has happened right here. There was a time I went to the board because some people, it's too cold. Man, the heat and cold is always something in every building you worry, you know, you kind of, okay, well, you can't please everybody. There was a time I went to the board and said, you know what? I'm just going to buy a whole bunch of airplane blankets, bring them in here, and you're cold, wrap around a blanket. Some of you come to me and complain, it's just too cold in here. I'm looking at your what you're wearing and saying, do I need to buy you a sweater or a coat? I mean, I could do that. Maybe it wouldn't be so cold in church. Even in this last service, it was cold in here today. And yet, at the end of the service, one person said, it was kind of cold in here today. And another person came to me and said, here's what you need. And she showed me the fan that she had on her phone. You plug into your phone, and it's a fan. So it's kind of warm in here today. After the last service, guys, we get all upset about that. People say, don't sit in my seat. Yes, that happens with some of you. Some in this church, that's your seat. Don't sit in it. To the point that if people sit in there, you've asked them to move. Whoa, man. It's one thing for me to hear about it afterwards. I better never see it happen in action. We don't own anything here. God does. It's not about where I have to sit, my little rear down. It's about that God says, listen, let's come together and fellowship together. Now, I know I'm like a Dutch uncle right now. Somebody's saying, man, he's really on fire here. Listen, we need to grow up. Grow up. The issue of the whole thing, the pastor didn't talk to me today. I continually, some of you will get upset because I'll be talking to you and you're talking, and I'll just say, time out. I got to see this new couple that's leaving. Yeah, but I'm not done. Yeah, you are. Bye. You say, well, why? Because we need to make the new people feel welcome. I don't need to hear the third story, the fourth generation of the second time that the frog jumped over the leaf to get to the, I don't need to hear it. I guess I'm uncaring. Not really. Man, maturity, guys. Maturity. Are you growing up? I love Chuck Swindoll. He says so many great things. Some people are professional, eternal, weaker brothers. You're offended about everything. Everything bothers you. Always something to be offended about. And he says we're to be growing. The word says we're to grow in Christ, to grow up, to gain maturity. Chuck Swindoll said, those people who come to me and they're complaining about this, I have two words for them. Grow up. Grow up. It's not about you. It's about the body, the family of Christ. Here, simply stated, 2 Peter 3, it talks about, simply stated, what is our challenge? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's our goal, to grow, to know Him, to take that knowledge and put it, to know how to grow and in what areas do we need to grow over the next few weeks. We're going to look at that. How do we grow? How do we mature? And then in what areas do we need to mature within the church and the body of Christ? So today it's a very simple question. How old are you? Oh, I don't mean biologically, chronologically. I'm 60 years old, I'm 30 years old. How old are you in the faith? Oftentimes I hear that comparison to spiritual maturity. Oh, I've been in Christ for, I've been a believer forever, for 20 years, 30 years. That doesn't really answer the question of how mature are you? Where's the maturity level of your life? The book of Hebrews talks about it in chapter 5. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers who are teaching the truth, serving, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You go over and over, you just don't buy it, you don't use it. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. How old are you in Christ? How long, not just you've been a believer? We use that illustration over and over and over of, you know what, here's the word. We need to grow. You're an infant. We need to grow. We have babies. We want them to grow. If something's wrong, you think something needs to change. How old are you? Are you the one who looks at everything and say, bless God, you can't control it, but you can control your response? Where's your maturity level in the things of the righteous and the things of the Lord Jesus? In the way you value people, in the way you value and you talk to others. Our age means nothing if we haven't taken it. But let me tell you right here, some of you may be wanting to point your fingers back at us and say, well, it's your responsibility. It is not. By constant use, by knowing the Word, this Word, I believe it or not, I think there is a Bible that everyone can read in some way, shape, or form. And some of you may say, well, I don't read very well. Man, go on any, there's that stupid commercial on TV. And the guy's reading like, I don't know, in the beginning God said, let there be light. You know, you can get books on tape. You can get the Bible on tape. Listen to it. The reality is your spiritual maturity is not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Are you in the Word? Or do you come to Sunday morning and you think, this little spoon-fed milk of the Word is going to be all you need to eat, and it's not going to make you grow. It's not going to be that spiritual diet of milk. It's going to be milk. It's not going to be the meat. But in our Bible studies, in our life, where you start to dig in and start to look and say, how does this apply to me? How do we respond? That's where I need to be. Now, everyone thinks they're mature. We all do. Oh, I'm mature. Are we really? Are we really? One of the things, are we mature in the way we obey? Are we mature in the way we give? Are we mature in the worldview that we have? Are we mature in the attitude of our hearts? Are we mature in those things around us? Oh, but I don't like that. But I don't like that. Listen, our maturity will be seen in tough situations. When your life and the cup of your life is shaken, when bad things happen, like we started at the beginning, when life doesn't seem fair, it's not easy, your response will show the level of your spiritual maturity. Our response. What comes out of that cup will tell us where we're at. Spiritual maturity will say, and you guys know I hate this phrase, but spiritual maturity will never say, that's just the way I am. Never. Ever learners. Ever learning. Lifelong learners. Of the Word, of the application of it, of the use of it. It said through constant use, they became stronger in the Word and the things of that. Well, I don't like that. You know, kids, we're adults, we know I can take medicine, I'll do it if I don't like it or whatever. This last week, the youngest granddaughter, TK, I call her Teacup. Teacup's been sick. She's had seizures and different things. So they sent her home with some medicine. So I picked it up at the pharmacy for him, took it by the house. So I'll help Eric give her the medicine, you know, the little dropper stuff. You know, you parents know the whole routine. So there's a little cup, just fit it in, I put the little dropper, and had the stuff in the dropper, and I said, come on, it tastes good. She took one little hit of it, and man, no more was happening. It's not going to happen. Now, come on, watch Poppy. Poppy will show you. I mean, Poppy will do it. So I put a little cup in there, you know, a little medicine cup, a little squirt in there. Took that. Oh, heck no. You're not taking that. That stuff tastes terrible. No. We got to get some ice cream or orange juice or something. Because that stuff ain't going down. And it didn't. Sometimes we may not like it. But the truth is, I could tell Teacup, listen, this will help you get better. It'll help you grow. It'll help you be whole. And sometimes you may not hearing the measure of maturity that says, listen, are you mature? Are you grateful? Are you joyful? Are you thankful? Or are you the professional offended brother? I'm always offended about something. You're always angry about something. Somebody didn't do something right. Grow up. Mature in the faith. Mature in the family of God. Make a commitment to grow. Make a commitment in 2018 to be here, to be faithful, to be faithful to the life group, to get involved, to say, I want to take and go deeper in the things of God, and I want to grow up and mature. Not always easy. But the church needs to mature. It's not always what you want to hear, because we like to hear those things that tickle our ears and make us feel good and walk out of here and say, oh, wow, that was good. We may not want to hear the things that say, man, God, I need to really look at my life and take inventory and realize I'm a child when it comes to that area.